If you, Harry, if you want to. Only if you want to.
Friday.
I had to explain to Wendy yesterday that...
difference between good and bad touching?
Wow. Yeah. That's why it's the bonus hour, right there. No, I had to explain to her that when she's not here, and you're here, or somebody else from the Broadcasting Hall of Fame sits in for her,
yeah,
that we don't, like in the old days, we would jump in and we would say the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, the Thursday, but we don't do it the same way she does it. We're not as good at it, so right. We stopped.
Right, it's pointless.
Right.
Effort and futility, yet here I am.
Yeah. Before we get any further in the show, I just want to point something out. I know this doesn't affect you. It's just for me. I'm hearing the show, I think, a half a second after the show in my headphones. Or it might be the opposite. It might be I'm hearing it a half a second before I say it, which is even stranger. I don't know how that's possible. So, Jazz, if you could get somebody from the community of people who can fix this to come in, because it's so strange. It's just a half a second off. But it's like a weird, eerie, dreamy state.
That is really crazy, because I'm hearing Father Dowling's Mysteries in my head.
The old Tom Bosley show?
Yes.
From the 80s?
Yes. Oh, this is a good one.
Who's the guest star on this one?
The guest star on this one is Patricia Heaton.
Oh, she's always good.
Yeah, and people didn't even know her back then.
If you get a chance, see the one with Audrey and Judy Landers. It will tug at your heartstrings.
I always liked Judy better.
The other day,
Thank Kathy.
Some show was playing Christmas songs that you should know about, but you don't. And one of the songs they played was either Audrey or Judy Landers. I can't remember which one was singing. But it was some Christmas album that they had put out years ago. Bob, listeners, Bob Ferguson, extraordinary, applause, please. Extraordinary engineer here at WGN is here to help fix the problem. Bob, I'm hearing things a half a second after I say them, and it's just mildly confusing. Is there something you can do?
Wait. We change it so you can hear it a half a second before.
Half before, yeah. Is that possible? What needs to be done so that that isn't... Hold on a second.
Bob, shouldn't you be wearing clothes?
Just say something and you'll hear what I mean. Just say something into the mic.
I think you're good.
You know it? Real?
No on. HR on Friday.
No, I'm still hearing it a half a second later. Hold on. Bob is pressing buttons.
Good thing this is just a rehearsal.
Yeah, this isn't the real bonus hour. When you're not here, Bob, sometimes... No, I'm still. It's still a half a second off. Is it in the other room? No? All right.
Now I'm hearing the John Williams show.
How is it?
It's really funny. It's good.
He's got James Polk on today.
James Polk, the president?
Hold on. They're in the producer's booth. They're... Nothing, Jess? All right. I'm sure it's fine.
Do you want to wear half of my headphones?
It's the strangest thing, because it's just a half a second off, and you would go, well, you could get used to that. But every sentence sounds slurry to me.
I hate it when a TV show or a movie's off dub.
Oh, when it doesn't sync up,
right.
When your lips are moving, but it's just a little bit off?
The other night it happened with Modern Family, of all shows, and it was just like so frustrating. I had it on DVR.
I was just going to say, I bet it was your DVR,
right.
It wasn't live.
Right, it was.
Yeah.
But it was just driving me crazy.
I know to anyone who's never done this before, you go, it's a half a second. Your brain will adjust to it. Mine never will.
No.
A half a second is the world, you know? All right. Press the purple button, see what happens. When you're not here, Bob, engineers hate to hear this, but every once in a while when I'm on that side of the board and something goes wrong, I just hit buttons at random to see what'll happen. Because what do I know?
It's like
might fix it.
It's like if you were flying the Millennium Falcon.
Let's think about that for a second. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Do you know the codes? No. Sorry, I watch a lot of Liam Neeson movies. Somebody always has to know the code.
This wouldn't have happened if we were on the seventh floor at the tower.
The old building?
Yeah.
They would have had this fixed in a second here.
Right.
Oh, back to normal. What'd you press?
I don't know.
The button that says half second fixer? Now everything's great.
Oh, it's my bueno, Roberto.
Thank you,
oh, Dios mío.
Here, give Bob a couple bucks.
Yo es hablé español.
No, you're coming in Spanish.
Hey.
Hit that button that says Muy Loco.
Dios mío.
See what happens. Bob, thank you. Today's bonus hour would be a mess without Bob Ferguson. He gave his life for good radio.
Now let me just tell you, this man gives
and gives
and gives
and gives,
and gives.
Until there's nothing
there's
left
no
to give.
Left.
There's nothing left. There's nothing left. You said something about Tony Orlando earlier, Harry. For those of you who didn't get to hear the regular show, I bring this up because we had Tony Orlando on. Not that you and I don't just have random mm-hmm. Tony Orlando discussions from time to time, because we do. You said Tony has perhaps the greatest mustache ever. Did you say what? How did you?
Yeah, he's got one of the great mustaches in the history of entertainment.
Give me your top five best mustaches ever. Tony Orlando certainly is on that list, but
yes.
Give me the other four.
Can I would take one from the world of sports.
Who would that be?
Baseball.
Well, Raleigh Fingers.
Raleigh Fingers
has the greatest baseball mustache
right.
of all time.
Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck had a really good mustache. So good that when the show Magnum came back on and the new actor doesn't have a mustache, I'm not watching the show. Why would I watch that?
You'd think they would just give the mustache
that
a roll.
That should have a spinoff show.
Right. Mustache.
Magnum's mustache. Tuesdays at 9.
On a new Magnum's mustache.
His house mustache
a,
crimes.
He keeps a stiff upper lip. Okay, other
Who
others.
Else?
Cloris Leachman.
Cloris Leachman, good mustache. A great mustache, though? I don't know. That's all right. It's all right. Who else?
Let's see.
Ditka?
Oh. I mean, you're talking Chicago coaches now. You got Ditka, you got Phil Jackson, you
not
got
wants
Coach
that, though.
Q.
That was a ridiculous mustache.
No, one stash.
Not Trubisky's current mustache.
No, is that even a stash?
Mm-mm.
No, his his stash has a 50% chance of playing Sunday night.
Right,
that's how bad his stash is. Right. Hey, I like the first three. I like Tony Orlando. I like Raleigh Fingers.
Tom
Selleck.
Ditka.
Yeah.
Give me one more.
Dick, let's see, who else has a great mustache?
Has to be great.
Yeah, has to be, you know, we take no substitutes. We want
right.
a great.
Only great. Only
yeah.
great.
And
mustache
I,
Hall of Fame.
And I don't want like a Rip Taylor mustache that's like, you
but
know.
That's a novelty mustache. That's a fun.
It's a novelty mustache.
What about Snidely Whiplash?
Oh, he could, you know.
Twirl it.
Yeah, you must pay the rent.
Yeah. That was Dishonest John. Also a good mustache.
Okay, but you tell me Snidely Whiplash never told someone they must pay the rent.
Oh, he always said that.
Yeah.
He was adamant that the rent must be paid.
Yeah,
he
tied the Cornell
railroad to the track. Right. Inspector
yeah.
Fenwick had to come and get Dudley Do-Right to rescue
mm-hmm.
her. Spoiler alert.
What was his horse's name?
Powder Puff?
Steed.
Steed.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
One more.
The Soup Nazi.
Oh, that's an interesting choice
mm-hmm.
from the Seinfeld episode. I would not have gone with that one, but that is a very good one.
No, the actual soup Nazi from the Nazi party.
Wait, because now I'm hearing the producer, what's going on in the producer's booth. Are you also hearing that?
I am not. Oh. I hope they're talking about mustaches and not how bad a lame guest host I am.
They're saying positive things, but only because they know I can hear them. All right, let's talk about this movie list that I brought
yes.
in. According to TheIndependent.com, Harry,
mm-hmm.
now this is worded very poorly. But they have come up with what they say are 40 films you must watch. And here's the problematic part for me. 40 films you must watch before you die.
See, what I would do is I would not watch them all. And then I would live longer. Right?
Because you know that upon completion of this list, there will be no more you.
Yeah,
so you take
gone.
Your time on these.
Right.
Pace them out one every couple of years, maybe.
Right. It's like at the end of the song, The Gambler, you know, as soon as he fades off to sleep, he's
right.
he's going.
That's true.
Somewhere in the night, The Gambler, he broke even.
That's true. Before I go through their list over at The Independent, and I have to say, there's a couple of films on here I've never seen, and that's to be expected. There's a couple of films on here that I vehemently disagree with, that you can see them if you want. You don't have to see them. It's not going to make a difference in the hierarchy of your life. But give me one or two that I say to you, what film does everybody need to see before they cash in their chips? What would you say?
Well, I've got several ways to go on this. So I think the greatest single performance by an actor in the history of motion pictures is Paul Newman in Cool Hand Luke.
Oh, good choice. He's great in that.
Right. And, you know, when people hear prison movies,
yeah.
and the first thing they say is Shawshank.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Cool Hand Luke, in my opinion, is much
He's
better
great
than Shawshank.
It.
And Paul Newman is just spectacular.
In a cast filled with great actors, your
George
Struther Martins,
Kennedy,
your George
Struther
Kennedys.
Martin, yep. J.D. Cannon.
All those eggs.
Yeah, all 50. Why'd you have to say 50 eggs? Why couldn't you say 35? Well, right. It seemed like a nice round number at the time. Yep. But at the end of the movie, when he goes into the church and he's hurt and he looks up and he goes, "You home, old man?"
Yep.
I mean, just
beautiful.
So he's
Paul
great
Newman's at his best.
Right. Another one from that era, I would say The Graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Because The Graduate strikes a chord, you know, if you see it before you're going to graduate from college, it's a totally different movie than if you see it now and you're looking back on it. But I've argued before that, you know, Dustin Hoffman is one of the most important actors, and it's a different conversation.
Right.
But I think Dustin Hoffman is one of the most important actors in the history of film.
I agree with you.
You know, he just made so many movies.
Right.
You know, I mean, you'd have to say...
Mr. Majorium's Wonder Emporium? Is that what you're thinking of?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm thinking of. You'd have to think Down Periscope.
Right. But to your point on Dustin Hoffman, if you look at his work in Papillon, where he was magnificent,
right?
Certainly The Graduate, which you mentioned.
Right.
Boy, there's almost too many. All the President's Men, he's so good in that.
And then you get films like Marathon Man.
Yeah, he's really good.
Which, I mean, he's just great. It's like with the great Laurence Olivier. Kramer versus Kramer was so important.
Really
in
good
movie.
In. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, Dustin Hoffman was big. And I'm forgetting Tootsie, my favorite Dustin Hoffman movie.
Yeah.
You know, and what's the one with De Niro where he fakes the election?
Wag the Dog.
Wag the Dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good.
It's a Wonderful Life comes to mind.
He was not in that.
No, but it's a movie that you'd have to see before you die.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Right?
Or at least hear the WGN radio presentation of it 1 week from today, from 10 to noon.
10 to noon? 10 Who
to
wrote
noon?
That?
I don't know. All right, so the first ones you would mention would be those.
Cool Hand Luke. Marathon Man, It's a Wonderful Life.
Those would be your three. Marathon Man of all the Dustin
Hoffman. I'm sorry, The Graduate.
Graduate. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What about you?
These are absolute no-brainers, because anyone who loves movies would say these right off the bat, but Godfather 1 and Godfather 2
of course.
Are not just movies, they're masterpieces. They're art at its highest form. They're perfect movies in every way.
Just spectacular.
Are they good? Are they good?
If you've never seen them, I'm jealous.
Did I tell you the story that Kylie, one of my daughters, wants so badly to be, she wants to write movies. So I start talking about The Godfather one day, and she goes, "Boy, at some point I really need to see it." And I go, wait, hold on. You've not seen it? And she goes, "No." She goes, I kind of know what it's about. I go, "It doesn't matter if you know what it's about. You need to see it." So I waited. Even though we had it on DVD, I waited for the HBO version where it's done in chronological order.
Yeah.
You know, where they Francis Ford Coppola went back and re-edited it, added some scenes to it. It's all start to finish from when young Vito Andolini becomes...
How long is that?
It's 7 hours and 20 minutes or
Whoa.
Something.
7:20.
Yeah, ironically.
Yeah, every day it's 7:20.
Right. So I DVR'd it, and I said, and this was 2 years ago at this time of year, at Christmas time, she was in from college. I said, "You and I are sitting down, and we're going to watch it start to finish." And about an hour and a half into it, she just gives me a look, and I go, "What?" And she goes, "This isn't that good." I go, "You're not my child. This isn't that good. This is not just not that good. This is perfect." She goes, "Dad, it just, I don't know." She goes, I knew enough about it. I kind of know. I go, "No, you got to see this." She just totally lost interest in it. It's one of the saddest moments of my life.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, how's that? So I'm at the point now that you reminded me of something, and, you know, I'm like suggesting they'll be when, you know, Lucy doesn't have a lot of them, but there'll be nights when my daughter will say, "Hey, you want to watch a movie?" Or I'll say, "Want to watch a movie?" And then there's so, you know, the nights are few and far between.
Yeah.
So like to think of a movie that she likes. And if Reggie's there, Reggie's 13. He loves video games. She's 18. She's, you know,
it's hard to find
her
something
head's on
everybody's
swivel.
Gonna like.
Right. So like, you know, Reggie loved Back to the Future. He just thought Back to the Future was like the greatest movie ever. And, you know, like Lucy, I gotta find a good movie for Lucy. Lucy loved Tootsie.
Yeah.
She loved In-N-Out.
Yeah.
The Kevin Kline movie.
I don't know if you've seen this, but in our living room, we have a cabinet that holds, years ago, I said, I'm going to buy my 100 favorite movies and just keep them, and anytime I need them, they'll be there. So we have a cabinet in our living room that has what I consider to be my 100 favorite movies.
That's awesome. Is that the Academy in there?
The Ron Liebman masterpiece with a guest starring role by
Barbara
you?
Buck?
By you? No, actually, that's not in my... That's like 103. It just missed the top 100 cut. But every once in a while, on a night like that, where we're all home and we want to watch a movie...
you'll reach in there.
I'll go, here's one you guys haven't seen. And my success rate was around 50%. Sometimes they'd see a movie and they'd go, yes, we can understand why you'd like that. And other times, we'll see a movie and they'll go, that
hurts.
Not so good.
Stings.
Oh, it kills me. Yeah. It kills me. But the Godfather thing was so beyond tragic because I've seen those movies, honestly, I would say between 15 and 20 times each. I could see them again 500 times and never get sick of them.
The Godfather is great because every single scene, you're thinking, oh, this is such a great scene.
Every scene. There's no downtime in The Godfather. There's not a wasted second.
When he comes out of the Italian restaurant and they've told him, come out shooting, and he's got the gun, but he doesn't come out shooting.
Yeah.
You're like, shoot, what are you doing? They told you to come out shoot. Every scene in The Godfather is great.
It's great. Yeah, that was a very hard day, as Kylie explained to me, that this... She goes, it's okay. I go, no, it's not okay. The Godfather's not okay.
Does she bring movies home to you and say, Dad, let's watch this?
Every once in a while, she'll recommend a movie. It's not an immediate, let's all sit down and watch this. And I'd say she'll see something on HBO or something, and she'll go, hey, I saw a movie I think you'll like. I'd say her success rate with recommending a movie to me is about the same as mine is to them, to my daughters. It's about 50%. Sometimes you nail it, sometimes you don't. But isn't that about the average with almost everybody? You go, hey, I saw something the other day you need to see, and then you tell them, you go, I saw that. That was horrible.
Yeah, I think it's about 50% with the kids, about 5% with the missus.
5%?
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
Give me one example of something you recommended that you thought, oh, this will, everybody will love this and nobody liked it. Is there one?
I thought Meet the Parents. You know?
Yeah.
How are my kids not going to love it?
And they didn't?
Reggie thought it was stupid.
Really?
Yeah. He's like, just because the kids are falling in love with each other doesn't mean that the parents have to like each other.
He's being practical.
Yeah, I hate that.
No room for that. There's no room for that.
No.
Let's do this. We'll take a break. Kim Gorn will be in. She'll give us the news. And then after the news, we'll get to the list, the independence list of the movies you need to see before you die. That sounds grim, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. All right. We'll come back after this. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Kim Gorn is in studio with me. Kim, in a little bit, of course, you'll give us the news. But Harry and I were just discussing this list. We haven't gotten to it yet, but the independent.com website has put out a list of what they say are 40 films you must watch before you die. Give me one or two that are on your list that you'd recommend to people. You got to see this movie. It's just perfect.
Well, I love Sound of Music.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
pretty good, isn't it?
And Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yeah. Two classics. Yeah. Who could argue with either one of those?
But I bet you there's a lot on that list that I have not seen.
I disagree with many of the ones on this list. We won't have time to get to all of them, but some of them are clear-cut, easy examples of perfect movies. And then there's other, like, really? Out of only 40 movies to watch, you would pick that one? It's very curious choice.
I'm interested to hear the
list. Yeah, we'll do that a little bit after the news. Thanks. It's Bill Leff. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry's filling in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Tuesday. I will also not be here on Monday. I'll send everybody a complete schedule.
And then I'll be filling in for Kim on Tuesday.
You're in for Kim on Tuesday.
Hour. Yes.
Wow.
And Kim will be fathering my kids all of next week.
That seems like a lot.
She'll be driving into school. Yeah.
That seems like a lot of work. There's a website called The Independent, and they are saying that they have come up, they have devised the list of 40 movies. I know this sounds gruesome, very grim. 40 movies you need to see before you die. I would just put 40 movies you should see.
Right. Are they saying before, like, does it say before Harry dies or before you die?
There's a separate section that says before Harry dies.
Okay.
How old are you? You're 50?
I'm this many.
50-something?
Nobody can see it, yes.
So you still probably have another 40 years, good years in you. So if you see one of these movies per year...
You'll be good.
You're caught up.
Now, I noticed Jasmine was playing Jenny Cash. Is Walk the Line on that list?
No. Walk the Line is not on the list.
I did love that movie, though.
That was really good.
That was a great movie.
A great music biopic.
Loved that movie.
Or biopic.
A biopic. I call it biopic.
You know, John Williams yesterday used the word biopic
right.
when he meant biopic.
Yes.
Did you hear him do that?
Yes,
is that why you said it?
Yes.
No, it's biopic. meaning biography picture.
Yes.
All right. Tell me if you guys agree or disagree with these choices.
Okay.
40 movies you must see before Harry dies. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
I haven't seen it in a while. I could use a redo.
It's very exciting. Here's what you'll notice if you haven't seen it in a while. The special effects at the time were kind of state of the art, but by today's standards,
it's laughable.
They're not. Well, like when the guy's face melts, that was really scary back then. Now it's almost funny.
Okay, spoil the movie for me.
Every movie has a guy with a face that melts.
That's true.
That was the worst scene in Star is Born for me, was when the guy's face melted.
Including many newscasts.
I've also seen the Raiders of the Lost Ark stunt show several times.
Oh, at Universal Studios?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or is it MGM or whatever they're calling it now? Hollywood.
Which one does that?
It's a Disney.
It's a Disney one. It's the Disney one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's there anymore.
I
think they pulled it away.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, because the guy's face melting wasn't convincing anybody, so no more. This is I don't know if you guys will know what this movie is. It's an odd choice, but it's an interesting one. Spirited Away. Do you know what that is?
No. It's a cartoon.
It's an animation.
It's animated, cartoon. Yes.
Usually they put Fantasia on those lists, and I was not a big fan.
Spirited Away is awesome.
It's
animation.
A really good movie.
Yeah.
When my daughters were little, this movie came out in 2001, so that's 17 years ago. Mm-hmm. My daughters were 4 years old. They couldn't read yet, and it was subtitled. So we go into a full house, a movie house that had not a single open seat, and the movie starts, and we realize that it's going to be lost on them because the movie's in Japanese, mm-hmm. and they can't read yet. So I then read them the movie for 90 minutes. I was reading them every line of dialogue, and people around us were irritated, and I don't blame them. I'd be the same way if somebody spoke for 90 minutes during a movie. And I kept explaining to people, they're really young, they can't read, they wanted to see the movie. And then as we leave, this was at the Evanston Cinema, I realize it's playing at the very next theater, but it's dubbed into English.
Oh, no.
Same time, all I needed to do was turn left instead of right, and it would have solved the problem.
Bill does that with a lot of movies.
Every movie.
Even if they're not dubbed.
I read stuff to the people in the movie.
Sometimes, though, when something's dubbed in, you lose something.
It's nowhere near as good.
Because I watched the show, I don't know if you watch on Netflix, Fauda, the Israeli.
Oh, it looks really good. I've not seen it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But we watched it first in the Hebrew and the Arabic with the subtitles.
Yeah.
And there's just it's so much better that way to read the subtitles.
Yeah.
When we watched it once, tried it with the dubbed in English, wasn't good.
No, I'm with you.
It loses something.
I hate subtitled movies because I'm lazy. But there's like every once in a while there'll be a movie where you don't need the subtitles.
Yeah.
Like Kosha Fall.
The Kosha Fall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They, I mean, after a while you don't need
you
the subtitles.
Get it. Yeah, right. I agree. What about this one? Should this be on the list of 40 movies to see before Harry dies? The Avengers.
No.
I don't think so either.
Are you being serious?
The Avengers, 2012.
That wouldn't be on the list of 4,000 movies.
The Avengers was fine for what it was. It was, you know, a bunch of superheroes together to fight evil. But no. There's so many more movies
that's
if you're classic. Limited to 40.
There's a lot of those
disagree.
Movies.
This list suddenly is losing some of its, you know, it gets demerits.
I agree
that.
With you. What about this one, The Shining?
No.
I might put that
red rum
on 40. It's tough. If they said 500 movies you need to see,
fine.
I'd go absolutely. 40 is tough.
If they put 100, I'd let you make a case for it. But 40,
not 40.
No way.
Nope.
It's not even amongst Jack Nicholson's top five.
Right.
I'd put it in his top five.
Come on, Cuckoo's Nest.
Cuckoo's
belongs,
Nest for sure.
Last Detail.
Mike Murphy. Yes.
Belongs.
Yeah. A Few Good Men, maybe. No, he's not in it enough.
Yeah, it's on the border.
Yeah,
but
Five Easy Pieces, maybe.
Five Easy Pieces, you could do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get. I need to see a list of the movies in front.
Broadcast
of me.
News.
Broadcast News. He's great. Is there anything I wish there was something
really
I could
good
do?
At that.
I wish there was something I could do to help all these people losing
he's
their
really
jobs.
Good.
Well, you could take a big price cut. No,
right. He's really good at
salary
that.
Cut. No.
The thing about The Shining that always fascinates me is I always consider that to be, of all the Stephen King novels that became movies, I think that's the best. He hates it. Stephen King hates it. He says that Kubrick, Stanley Kubrick, the director, didn't understand it at all. Didn't understand the source material. Made a horrible movie, in his opinion.
David Bowie hated the song Young Americans. I think it's a great song.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Pledge is great. How about Batman?
I wouldn't put that in. If you had to say Nicholson top five, I wouldn't go top five.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd go top five on that. I'd go top five on that way before I go top five on The Shining.
Yeah.
Wait till they get a load of me.
But we've seen the Joker portrayed better by others.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't think so?
I don't know. Pretty good in that, but...
What about this? Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
No.
I don't think so either.
Terms of Endearment, going back to Jeff.
Oh, yeah, it's good in Terms of Endearment.
And I just love that movie with him and Diane Keaton. I forget.
Oh, no.
I love that movie.
Something's Gotta Give?
Yes,
That's pretty good.
I love that movie.
Oh, no.
I'm with Kim.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. And Keanu's in that.
Fantastic.
No. Prissy's Honor. He's great in Prissy's Honor.
Oh, that was a good movie, yeah.
Come on.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I say no. Kim, you say no. Harry?
No.
No on Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Here's another one I don't think should be anywhere near the top 40 list. The Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, I hated Terrible. That movie.
I did, too.
Hated it.
I hated it.
It's awful. Walked out.
And the guy who made it, Wes Anderson, I love his movies. Almost every other movie he's ever done, I'm a fan of. Royal Tenenbaums did nothing for me.
He's made some movies that are out there.
Yeah.
What about this one, Lawrence of Arabia?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's long. If it were a little longer, if they could make it 17 hours instead of 7.
I should watch that on Christmas, Lawrence of Arabia.
Lawrence of Arabia is... I've seen it almost twice. Like, midway through the second time I went, I don't need to see this a second time. It was ridiculous. It's good. It's so epic.
Right.
It's so big.
Kind of like the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
But here's what this list is doing for me is it's making me think of the other movies that these actors are in. Peter O'Toole. Have you ever seen My Favorite Year?
He's perfect in that. He's Alan Swan in that.
Yeah. That's why you're awesome, Bill. Exactly. You know My Favorite Year is about the golden age of television. And
Mark Lynn Baker
is this young writer who's on like the Saturday Night Live of that era. And
it's like your show of shows.
Yeah, your show of shows. Yeah. And each week they have a big guest star, and Peter O'Toole's character, Alan Swan, is going to be the guest star. But then they talk about it, and they say, no, he's a drunk. We don't want him here. We can't depend on him. He said, but he's my favorite actor. I will be in charge of babysitting him that week. And it's just, it's a great movie.
You'd love it. It's
all right,
so good.
Put that on the list.
There's a scene when he's drunk, and he's in the women's bathroom using the facilities, and the costumer walks in and she goes, sir, this is for ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter O'Toole looks up and he goes, well, so is this, but every once in a while I have to run a little water through it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should bail on this list and make the Bill and Harry's list of movies to see before
you die. Much better.
Yes.
I would do that. I'd stay late for that. Here's another curious choice. This is a movie I liked, but Brazil. That's a Terry Gilliam movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Catherine Hellman from Soap
isn't that? No.
It's a very odd movie, very strange movie. One of those, Terry Gilliam was a member of
Monty Python.
He was the animator. And his movies tended to sometimes go not only over budget, but he'd say, I'll have this done in a year. And then 4 or 5 years later, he was almost done.
Did he do Time Bandits with George Harrison? Yeah.
Yeah. Love that movie.
Yeah, that's good.
Better than Brazil. Maybe. Here's an interesting choice. I hope you guys have seen this. Double Indemnity with Fred McMurray and Barbara Stanwyck.
I have seen it. I like
really
the,
good.
I like the fact that they added to the list a movie of that era, but no.
Yeah, sometime in the mid-40s.
Did they rank these or just it's just
no,
40?
They're just saying, here's 40 movies. At some point, sadly, you're not going to be with us anymore. You need to see these 40 movies to be a complete film fan.
Okay.
But the choices are very, very peculiar.
like someone's going to be doing...
Do they give the criteria what it's based on?
They don't.
Okay.
They don't.
I like the idea that like somebody's doing a eulogy for you, and you go, well, he lived a great life, he had many wonderful kids, had a great career, but...
And he saw 40 movies.
Yeah, he never saw Brazil.
Right. Days of Heaven.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's an okay movie. That's Richard Gere and Brooke Adams.
Yeah, no.
Now, the guy who directed this, Terrence Malick, is the guy who did Tree of Life, right?
I believe so.
Did you ever see this movie, Tree of Life?
I think I saw Heaven Can Wait. Wasn't that with...
Oh, that was great. Warren Beatty.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
I love that movie.
Me too.
Really good.
Yeah.
A remake of Here Comes Mr. Jordan.
Right. And that was remade again by Chris Rock.
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the Warren Beatty version.
The Warren Beatty version.
Yeah, the Warren Beatty is the one.
Yeah.
Mrs. Farnsworth saw a mouse. Charles Grodin is the reason why that movie is so great.
So good. And Diane Cannon.
Yeah, and James Mason.
Yes.
When the cop...
Who I believe was in the first version was in Here Comes Mr. Jordan, wasn't he?
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
when Vincent Gardenia, the cop, is interviewing him, and he would say, "What would he say, Farnsworth?" He would say, "I wish these marshmallows would last longer."
Yeah, such a good movie.
Which that makes me think of Arthur, which is a great movie.
Ah, it's pretty good.
Arthur's a great.
List?
Arthur's a great movie.
It's not on the list.
Heaven Can Wait makes me think of a Rams night game, and this Sunday the Bears are going to beat the Rams, and I will be thinking of Heaven Can Wait.
And I'll be at the Packer game when this is all going on.
What?
I knew that at some point you guys would mention the Bears Packers. I knew at some point. Here's one you can't disagree with. They finally nailed one. Citizen Kane.
That's great.
Okay.
Classic.
I have to admit, I haven't seen it, but I should.
What is wrong with you? You seem so cool.
We're having heart attacks.
You seem so cool.
Okay, whatever.
Then see Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane's great. Harry and I both went to Columbia College. I said the college part, Harry.
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
I took a class called Citizen Kane where we, scene by scene, dissected Citizen Kane. So it was pointed out by the instructor so many things that are taken for granted in movies today, like in Citizen Kane, when there's a scene inside of a house, an interior, you see the ceiling. And we're like, so? And they go, that had never been done before. Because when they make movies, they do them on sound stages. So they build a set to look like a room. But in this, Orson Welles wanted it to look real. So the angles are shot low up so that you see ceilings. And it's a more confined look.
Usually on a sound stage, it's open at the
top,
right?
There's no roof.
Right.
Yeah, or there is, but it's way, way, way higher up. And there's all kinds of microphones. But he wanted it. When you see Kane's house, Xanadu, his mansion, his estate, he wanted you to get a kind of myopic feel of the building, so he wanted ceilings. So we're all like, wow, well, that does make a difference. And the movie's filled with stuff like that.
Interesting.
The stuff that had never been done in movies before. So, yeah, that one certainly belongs
in
there.
And there's a spectacular line in that movie, but I won't say it because you haven't seen it.
I might have heard it, maybe.
Rosebud.
Have I heard it?
No, not in that.
No.
Wouldn't give away the ending. Like you.
I didn't give away the ending.
No.
I didn't. What about this one? Rear Window.
Rear Window is great. It's my all-time favorite Hitchcock movie. And what's great about that movie is in the first 30 seconds, you get the entire exposition of the film without one word of dialogue.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, you get the fact that Jimmy Stewart is an award-winning photographer whose whole life is like adventurously seeking photos. He's been all over the world.
You seen this, Kim, or not?
No, I have not.
Okay.
You just made Harry very disappointed.
He's confined.
I've got a lot of work to do.
No, I get it.
First 30 seconds. He's in a wheelchair with a cast on his leg, and it's like a 1940s cast and wheelchair. And all he can do is see out this rear window.
That's his whole world.
To the courtyard. That's his whole world.
Yep.
And it's so great. Princess Grace is in it.
Princess Grace and Raymond Burr.
Raymond Burr is
in it. Raymond Burr.
Would it make you feel better to tell you that I've been to her palace in Monaco?
Well, now you're just showing off.
No.
I hope you didn't tell her you didn't see Rear Window.
She wasn't.
Grace, I got to tell you.
She wasn't with us anymore then.
You seem like such a nice lady. I'm going to see your film eventually. If I was going with one Hitchcock movie for this list,
it
would be a toss-up between Rear Window and, of course, Psycho.
Yeah.
Be a toss-up between those two.
Psycho's terrific.
Psycho's so good.
Did you like Vince Vaughn's homage to Psycho by remaking it shot for shot?
No. Unnecessary.
Why'd you make it?
Unnecessary.
Why did I make it? Why'd you spend all that money?
I had a weekend with nothing to do. I thought this would be fun. It Happened One Night.
Clark Gable,
Claudette Colbert.
30s, right.
Yep. At the time, a very important film. I don't know that as we've advanced, if that would need to be a must-see film.
If we were doing a radio show and looking online in 1939, I could see us saying it would be
It Happened One Night
40.
Would be on there. Yeah. Hoop Dreams.
That's a weird... That's the documentary about
the two Chicago basketball players. Yeah.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one.
Incredibly entertaining. Kind of
depressing.
Rejuvenated, very depressing. Kind of rejuvenated interest in documentaries.
Yeah.
Because they were just kind of existing and that was it. And then all of a sudden people went, oh, that's a great way to see a movie is a documentary. Let's see it.
Right. I love documentaries.
The Apartment.
Jack Lemmon.
Mm-hmm. One of his greater roles.
Yeah.
Billy Wilder movie.
One put it in there.
Like it a lot. I don't know that I'd put it.
I put it in Some Like It Hot before I would
put it in
The Apartment.
Me too, by far. Strange choice here, Paris, Texas.
Never even heard of
what?
It.
What?
It's Harry Dean Stanton and Natasha Kinski. Very strange that they would choose this. Wim Wenders is the director who made it.
Terrible choice.
Movie.
Who made this list?
Well, this isn't a list for like your average moviegoer.
This is a
because
list.
I feel like I'm the average moviegoer who likes to see blockbusters and classics and romance films.
And you're not finding it on this list.
And I'm like, I haven't seen half.
I see you as above average.
Well, thanks, Harry.
Even though
I am
never
an average moviegoer.
Grace Kelly's greatest role. Here's a strange choice because it's a good movie. And I would recommend it to somebody, but I would never put it on a list of 40 must-see. You boy, you need to see this movie. Did you ever see Before Midnight with Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy?
Where
they're walking around Paris. They not only made that movie, but they have made two sequels. I think they make them every 8 or 10 years apart. Is that right? Somewhere like that, 8 years apart, where it's the same characters and they reunite to talk about how their lives have changed.
That sounds
like same time next year.
Yeah,
That sounds like.
I love the Woody Allen movie where Owen Wilson goes back in time to Paris at midnight.
Oh, that was a good movie.
That was interesting.
What was that called? I'm trying to remember.
Was it Midnight in Paris?
Midnight in Paris.
Was it
Midnight in Paris?
Look
at you.
All right. I'm feeling better now. I'm going above average.
So the three movies in that trilogy, Before Midnight is the third. So I haven't seen that one. Now that I'm reading up on it, Before Sunrise was the first one. That was in 1995. 9 years
before
later.
Before lunch.
Before Sunset came 9 years later. And then 9 years after that, Before Midnight, the third in the trilogy. So it's a similar premise to Same Time Next Year. The Neil Simon play.
Yeah.
So good. So good. Movie was good.
You can see what genre I go for.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm a rom-com.
This one is one I agree with wholeheartedly. I don't know if you guys will, but Casablanca.
Okay. Yeah, Casablanca's great.
Definitely. Humphrey Bogart being the best Humphrey Bogart you could be. Yeah. Curious choice here, Meet Me in St. Louis. Judy Garland.
Yeah, and unless you put Bogey in that, I don't want to see it.
They screen tested Bogey for the Judy Garland role.
They put that in before Wizard of Oz.
See, now you're thinking.
I don't think Wizard of Oz is on the list.
But Wizard of Oz belongs on there ahead of St. Louis.
It should be. This is a really old movie, A Trip to the Moon. That's when you always see...
A Trip to the Moon?
Yeah. It was made in 1902 where they did all kinds of experimental... Like, you've seen this clip. Anytime they show you the greatest movies of the century, you see this thing of a rocket ship going through space and landing on the moon, and it's a human being's face that they've made to look like a moon. Did you ever see that?
No.
Never saw that?
Yeah,
no.
Kind of.
It's a short movie. I saw it in film class. I think it's 35 minutes or something like that, but
Bill, you shouldn't have been in that class. You should have been teaching that class.
Really?
Thank you. I like this one.
As an 8-year-old, probably.
This is a great movie, but again, I don't know if I'm limiting it to 40 movies that somebody must absolutely see in their lifetime. His Girl Friday?
No.
Right? That's
no.
That's a good movie, but it's not.
This is a list for movie snobs.
It Kim, to your point, yes.
I put it,
but even movie snobs would tell you that there's more important movies that have been made than
I'd put in Born Yesterday before I'd put in His Girl Friday.
Similar circumstance. It's a Cary Grant movie who's always good. Rosalind Russell's in it. I like it. It sure wouldn't make a 40 must see list for me. Neither would this one. That's a really good movie again, but again, not top 40. The Conversation.
No, it's very good. Gene Hackman's awesome.
Cindy Williams is in that.
Because you say, you know, it's a good movie, but what makes it a good movie? Is it the actor? Is it the premise of the movie? What is it?
It's a thoroughly enjoyable start to finish, great characters, great action, great adventure, great everything. There's nothing wrong with The Conversation.
No, have you ever seen
Coppola's first? Was that the first time people took notice of Francis Ford Coppola?
I think it was in school when he was having other kids whacked.
Is that what it was?
Yes. Have you guys ever seen the Cary Grant, Audrey Hepburn movie Charade?
I have not seen the whole Charade. I've seen bits and pieces of it on Turner Movie Classics.
It's spectacular.
Yeah.
You should watch Charade. I'm recommending Charade. It's great. It's like 1965.
That's my weekend homework.
Yeah, it's awesome. Walter Matthau shows up in that movie.
Very young Walter
Matthau. And James Coburn shows up in that movie. And it's just it's wonderful. It's a whodunit. Kind of, it's a espionage movie, and Audrey Hepburn is just her life's in danger every second, and boy, Cary Grant.
Cary Grant's great. We don't have time to discuss these, but just a few more titles that made their list over at the Independent 40 Movies You Must See Before Harry Dies. Blowout, strange choice, good movie, strange choice. Hannah and Her Sisters.
Good, I like that movie.
Good movie. Strange choice, though.
Yeah.
Raising Arizona.
I like that movie. I like that movie. I love Nicolas Cage, but no.
The boy.
Isn't that with, who else was in that?
Holly Hunter.
Yeah.
Wasn't Joaquin Phoenix in that or one of them?
No. He's in To Die For.
He kidnaps the baby.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This one, I don't understand what they were thinking when they said this is a must-see, but The Bourne Supremacy.
What?
No.
You tell me there's a James Bond movie in there. Tell me Goldfinger's in there.
When Harry Met Sally.
Okay, yes. I agree with that.
Yeah. You can find the whole list at independent.com. See if you agree or disagree. I've left off some of the more obscure titles. There were a couple that I threw in, but there's a couple of more foreign films that didn't get a mention. But it's all there at theindependent.com or independent.com. You decide if those 40 should be the ones you see before Harry dies in many years from now.
Is Major League in that?
Major League and Major League 2 are both down there.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Kim, thank you for hanging out.
Thank you.
Harry and I will close up shop next. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Harry, that's it. You pulled it off. You surprised us all. Nobody saw this coming.
Yeah.
We said, yeah, he'll be there, but, you know, what kind of a show will it be? And then you showed us.
It was a blast.
This was so much fun.
Whether I'm with you, whether I'm with Wendy, as long as Jasmine's here, I love being on Bill and Wendy's
show. Thank you.
Yep.
You're welcome, you. And, of course, Carmen and I will be on tomorrow afternoon.
Will you discuss sports?
A little bit.
Maybe a mention of the Bears game? Maybe.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what time is this again?
Carmen and I will be on 4 o'clock right after On the Road with Dane.
That's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day.
All right. Wendy and I will not be back on Monday. We're taking the day off.
Do you know who I'm hosting with on Monday?
I know they were talking to Dinah Shore. I don't know if that happened or not, but I know that they had put in a call to Dinah Shore's people. We're waiting to hear back.
Awesome.
Harry and Dinah in for us on Monday, and then back to normal on Tuesday. Hope you all have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. Bye, Harry.
Hey, Bill.